Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Melody, happy hump day.
Oh, you didn't forget. It only took one ribbing to make sure that you had it all ready, raring to go.
So. Indeed.
Well, I'll tell you what, not a whole lot to talk about today as far as the markets go, as many of them were closed. However, gold did trade today. So, you know, there, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, there was a, had gold down about a buck, $1,237.90. Silver was down 4 cents at $14.57. Platinum was down three at $804, and palladium was down a dollar at $1,245. Let's see, did the dollar look like that traded? There's a lot of electronic trading going on, so we can bring that up. We have the USDX today up 10 cents at 97.08. Crude oil was down 25 cents at 53. And that's about all she wrote, Dave. There weren't, wasn't much more open. I mean, some odd exchanges and so forth were open. The banks were actually open today. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, but the post office was not. The 10-year yield, 2.92%. I think that was from yesterday. So, you had any news that you'd like to relate to before we head with Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs, Dave?
No, it's amazing how a slow day can be good news.
Yes, absolutely. And I'd like to welcome Wendy Wilson as she visits with us every Wednesday, and she brings us just a treasure trove of great information and trying to keep you healthy. And I do so appreciate Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. What a nice intro. And hey, Dave.
Hey, Wendy.
Well, we're going to be talking about unlocking the allergy scam, and that's what I'm calling it, because there's been this explosion in the number of people that become allergic to foods, and the list of food sensitivities really growing. It's not just humans, also it's our pets. So what do you suppose could be the correlating factor between humans and pets developing not only more allergies, but even deadly ones? Well, the smoking gun, according to medical science, is vaccines. Yep, I dug, and medical science admits it, so we're going to cover that. According to Science Direct, actually Hippocrates wrote about food allergies, such as shellfish allergies, and he even said it could be a cause of death. And he wrote this in 690 BC, but he called it hostile humors, but science today calls it antibodies. So the condition of being allergic to a food really didn't seem all that interesting to medicine, not until early 20th century. So in the 1970s, medicine actually said the condition needed a name and a diagnosis code. So they decided that being allergic to a food may not be a genetic issue. It has to be an immune system issue. Now, there's these studies by Dr. Charles May on food allergies in the 1970s, and he introduced the notion that it stems from an immunopathogenic mechanism. So science has known that, you know, being sensitive to certain foods really involves your immune system. They have known this for thousands of years, actually, and we're going to get to that in a minute. So with that said, the invention and the use of vaccine serums, which highly influence your immune system, have actually been the catalyst for spurring on various hyper-induced food sensitivities. Now, by the 1930s, get this, the scientific community actually owned more than six patents on serum proteins that cause gastrointestinal food allergies in the field of gastroenterology right around there exploded, and so did the treatments for their conditions. I don't think that's a coincidence. All right, so I want to get to this 1921 experiment. It's in the scientific literature, and there's this scientist by the name of Carl Pranitz, and he was testing fish allergies. He was working at the Hygiene Institute in Wrocław in Poland, and Pranitz was allergic himself to pollen, but he wasn't allergic to fish. So he was wondering if it were possible to make someone allergic to a food, such as a fish. So he set out to test his theory, and he wanted to see if he could transfer an allergy to others using a serum. So he found that his allergy-induced serum had immediate effects. Actually, Pranitz, and he's really the father of the skin allergy tests. So what he did is create what is known today as a transferable IgE immunoglobulin antibody factor. And that reacts to a specific antigen, and what it does is it induces a response through your immune system. So he could actually make patients allergic to fish, eggs, whatever protein he added to the serum. And I truly believe this is the unfortunate springboard science used to actually weaponize vaccines and cause all these massive allergic responses. Now, other research followed over the 70 years, and science learned how to create sensitivities to wheat, dairy, eggs, fish, nuts, grass, trees, and so on. They actually logged in the reactions from the human volunteers, and their reactions were such as eczema and other forms of dermatitis, asthma, rhinitis and sinus infections, and digestive upset and spasms of the colon. Let me read you this quote from Science Direct under their Food Allergy Past, Present, and Future listing, October 2016. They say, investigation proved that with serum tainted with either egg or fish protein could make 90% of normal adults or children contract that food allergy within 24 hours. End of quote. What do you think?
Kind of interesting.
Well, yeah. Well, the researchers actually perfected their serums, and they actually noticed that they could increase your H2 blocker stomach acidity, and it affects your stomach pumps. How many people are on those stomach pump medicines now, right?
I have no idea. I've never heard of that.
Is that a result of the bariatric surgeries?
Yeah, the proton pump inhibitor stuff, right?
Oh, okay.
And they also noticed that when you have alcohol with any of these protein serums, it increases the absorption of the antigen. Now, scientists actually noted that their serums, if they can use them to create a lot of gastrointestinal food allergies. And guess what? They admitted in a research paper that when they give you a serum that will attack your digestive system with a protein to make you allergic, it shows up within 30 minutes in the gastric mucosa in humans. They develop what is called abnormal patches of this thick gray layer of mucus, and it causes the person the inability to have normal intestinal mast cells. So they know they're doing this. So what they're doing is they're grossly sensitizing the digestive lining, making people allergic and causing all forms of digestive distress depending on which patented protein serum they're using. Which brings to an important question. What the heck is in the allergy shots that are supposedly tailored to their patients? Right? You know, if you're allergic to something, you go get allergy shots so you're not allergic to it anymore. Well, they're so dangerous, these allergy shots. They can cause respiratory arrest, so patients that get them have to wait at the doctor's office at least 30 minutes afterwards to make sure they don't stop breathing. So people have been actually experimented on from the very beginning on vaccine use, and the public has aided the scientific world in honing into perfection their immunotherapeutic approach to creating disease. So scientific medicine, you know, gives people the allergy disease, and then they sell them a method of treatment to desensitize their immune system, you know, allergy shots or EpiPens. My question is, do you feel scammed yet? Right?
You know, story after story tells us, you know.
Right.
And you know, when I go back to my grandparents, I don't remember any of this stuff where they were ill and had these problems and issues or,
right.
You know.
Right. Absolutely. Actually, we're going to get to a statement by a doctor about that in just a minute. So very savvy of you to mention it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people, you know, have noticed that food allergies have gotten worse and more prevalent. And I can honestly say it's not your imagination. Here is a quote again from Science Direct. They say this: in the early 1980s, the landscape for food allergy was very different from today because food allergy was less prevalent and there was less public awareness of the problem. Doctors dismissed the notion that many medical issues could be really allergies because allergies were not really promoted as, quote, real science. So in the 1980s, there was perhaps, they said, 1% of the population diagnosed with a food allergy compared to about 20% or more today. So when you have ever-increasing number of use of protein serum vaccines, we see an increase in different types of allergies, and many are still not attributed to the vaccine use. Now, for those listeners that are on the newsletter list that you send out, Melanie, mm-hmm. they're going to get a chart from Science Direct where they charted from the 1990s through today, and it's very evident that we have a problem with food allergies, and they're all correlating with the use of vaccines, and there's more vaccines in use than ever before. Well, let's get to that wonderful little study.
I got a question. Do you think the vaccines are being created to some degree with the inferior food, not to better, but to react a certain way? Does it?
Well, there's an interesting question. So there could be a cross-reaction between the GMO and the protein serums and the vaccines. That's quite possible. Yeah. I haven't seen any reports written on that yet, though, but that's a good thing to look into.
There you go.
Very good question. I do want to mention this really important study that was pointing the finger to the vaccines. This is October 2015, the Journal of Developing Drugs. They published a research titled Evidence That Food Proteins in Vaccines Cause the Development of Food Allergies and Its Implication for Vaccine Policy. So, but first, in 1913, there's this scientist by the name of Lariat Charles Richat, and he received a Nobel Prize for his work proving that by injecting a protein into an animal or a human, that it causes an immune system sensitization to whatever that protein is. So for like 105 years, scientific medicine has really known, they've knowingly and willfully assaulted patients in this manner. So our physicians today, they have to be the most ill-informed or ill-educated scientists to date, because I have found this research, and if I found it, they can. And the physicians that do know, I'd say few of them have made decisions to change the way they treat the patients, and the rest of them remain silent and just lie to their patients. Let me read you this quote from that Journal of Developing Drugs. They said this. This is important. They say, subsequent exposure to vaccine serum proteins can result in allergic reactions causing anaphylaxis. So this means that you can stop breathing, okay, and die. They said this fact has been demonstrated over and over again in humans and animals. The Institute of Medicine in 2011 confirmed that food proteins in vaccines cause food allergies and adverse events. Allergens and vaccines are not fully disclosed, and no safe level or dose for these injected allergens has ever been established. The allergens and vaccines are also not regulated. The quantities of the allergens in vaccine serums are not regulated. It has been scientifically proven that smaller quantity of allergen that is currently being used in vaccine can cause a sensitization and an event. And it's well documented that in many currently approved vaccines, they have enough allergen to cause anaphylactic shock. End of quote. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So they've known. So this is willful. If you and I did something, we knew about it, and we continue to do it, we'd be prosecuted as willful intent. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Now, the Journal of Developing Drugs also dropped another bomb when it stated that these vaccines cause what is called suboptimal gut microbiome in newborn babies and have also resulted in a 50% increase in C-section births. So the adjuvants also in the vaccines also increase the sensitivity to those injected proteins in the vaccines. So the Journal of Developing Drugs says this: this combination of food protein, especially in C-section babies, contributes to millions of developing life-threatening food allergies. Due to the scale of the food allergy epidemic, urgent and immediate action is needed. End of quote. Do you suppose we're going to get any of that?
What do you think, Wendy?
I don't think so. Well, now, the Children's Medical Safety Research Institute also chimed in October 2015 and said food allergies in children ages 0 to 17 in the U.S. have increased by 50% between 1997 and 2011. And if you look at the chart of how many vaccines they added to the schedule, you'll see that it correlates. Now, just to give you a global perspective, you know, universal health care is, you know, taken over Europe, and the countries that have the government-run healthcare have a worse epidemic than the United States does with food allergies. So this universal healthcare, the people have to go along with what's recommended in their treatments, or they could lose coverage. So here's what the Children's Medical Safety Research says. They say in the UK, life-threatening food allergies have become alarmingly pervasive. We have witnessed a 700% increase in hospital admissions for anaphylaxis and a 500% increase in admissions for food allergies since 1990. Yeah. Wow. So I can just say, I'm just going to say it. You're thinking it. I'm thinking you're thinking it. People may be thinking it out there. What?
Wendy, what? Go ahead and say it.
I'm going to say it. What we're witnessing is more than an epidemic. We're witnessing global malpractice, and that's putting it nicely.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I was listening to a radio program today when I was running an errand, and this person had called into a radio show. I'm not quite sure which one it was, but he was over in France, you know, during the riots this weekend, and, you know, he was actually driving a car that had a license plate, you know, outside of France, so they didn't bug him too much, and they got out of the car, and they finally had enough nerve to ask around about, you know, what the big deal is with the rioting and so forth. And, you know, they said higher taxes and gas and blah, blah, blah. And then the guy asked him, he says, well, don't you guys have universal health care, free health care? Because the guy kept saying, we have no money, we have no money. He says, well, you have free health care. He said the guy's eyes just glazed over, went blank. We have no, and just kept repeating, we don't have any money. Well, hello, do you know why you don't have any money?
They take it from you to pay for the health care.
I know. You know, and now you can't pay for that, you know. And
well, right, in England, I've talked to people over in London and stuff. They order product from me, and they say that 20% of their paycheck goes to that free health care.
Yes, yeah.
Real quickly, do we have time? Or is the time running out?
No, we don't.
Ah, well, hey, 35% off List Checker Healthy Wellness Holiday Sale at thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Hurry, the sale will end soon.
All right, appreciate it, Wendy. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Got to get my little cough in there, ladies and gentlemen. That's 1-800-375-4188. We're continuing the small package of the $25 face of 50-cent pieces and, of course, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, $450. If you buy two packages, it's $440. So, great little buy. Both prices include your shipping costs. And it really was sort of a quiet day. Dave.
Yes.
All eyes were on the mine weren't, but a lot of people's sidetracked with the
funeral.
Funeral and so forth. But so headlines have been kind of quiet, pretty much just repetitious of what we've had in reference to the G20 meeting and the tariffs and so forth. So I guess we'll continue to talk about the markets. And again, this guy is not my favorite guy, James Cramer. You know, if you go and look at his portfolio, he really doesn't do all that well. But on the other hand, he's interesting, and he does come out with some pretty good truths every now and then. But he's talking about the stock's nosedive yesterday when it was down 800 points. And he said one thing became abundantly clear to the longtime market watcher. It was all about the rise of the machines. I agree and disagree with that. Some attributed the dramatic declines to a lack of buyers. But Cramer said he already knew the culprit. Complex algorithmic programs set up by the professional money managers to sell when the odds of future market losses increase. In other words, when an event that often precedes a recession occurs, like on Tuesday's case, short-term interest rates trading above long-term rates is a so-called yield curve inversion. Some trading algorithms will automatically begin selling securities because the chances of an economic slowdown just got a whole lot higher.
Yeah, I mean, Cramer, the peripatetic mad money guy, drew a comparison with football. I mean, some plays can seem very risky, he said, but when you consider the percentage chances of them going right, there's no choice but to implement them in the field. He said these programs make the same kind of calculation. So, when the 2-year and 5-year yield curves inverted yesterday, some hedge funds programs, computer programs, automatically sold the S&P 500, which tends to fall in times of economic weakness anyway. You know, others automatically sold shares of the big banks, which suffer when rates are lower. I mean, why? Because historically, this situation has produced negative results for the bank stocks, and these hedge funds are trying to get out ahead of others who fear those negative results, but just don't know, they're going to fear them. It's a foot race, is how Kramer put it, Melody?
You know, the charts are signaling more pain. Based on Kramer's analysis, these hedge funds likely sold the S&P when it dipped below its 200-day moving average, because in the past that move tended to bring more downside. And he said that the problem is that there are so many hedge funds using the same algorithm programs that there simply aren't enough investors willing to take the other side of the trade. So that's how you get a day like yesterday, when you see the market going into free fall, when the percentages are against you and the algorithms are in charge. You know, so nobody wants to be a hero and bet against them. And so there's everyone is saying that it's all because of the high-speed trading was the primary reason why the stock market's showing more abrupt ups and downs. You know, you can expect that kind of volatility to continue ramping up in the recent weeks and months. So again, if you want to save you all this all this fear, all this you know, agitation, hey, just go into gold and silver. What else is more stable than gold and silver?
How about bonds?
Oh, yeah, sure.
The safe haven of bonds?
Oh, yeah, let me run right there. Let me go right out and get some. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, gold and silver has been and always will be the safe haven of choice for a reason. The only reason they'll go to bonds is because it's an easy way to move money quickly. You know, but once the dust settles, then that money moves into gold and silver. So don't wait until the dust settles, because usually then it's too late. But these guys are moving billions and billions and billions of dollars. So it's a lot different than the, you know, people who have pensions, retirement accounts, and so forth. It takes you a long time to move your money. I mean, if you go talk to your financial planner and tell him you want to pull out some money, the first thing he's going to do for probably a week is argue with you.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to do that. This is a safe market. But you know what, Dave? I agree with it and disagree with it. I agree with the fundamental, and I'm not a technology person, and I agree with the fundamental reasoning behind the algorithms that yes, that can occur. But I also believe when you have markets at highs, you're going to have big drops. I mean, we're looking at, you know, 26,000, 25,000, 26,000. You know, 1% drop, 1.5%, it's really not that big of a deal. You know, to get 3%, now if you look at China's, they're at, what, 2,500? Yeah, 3% is a pretty big whack, you know, for that. So to me, it's all part of, and is it truly the algorithms that are making these huge drops?
Sure.
I'm not so sure.
I mean,
no, I don't.
They're a contributing factor. Is it the main reason for the turnaround of the market? No, definitely not. They're the fundamentals that you talk about.
Absolutely. What sets these algorithms in place? Because the market's dropping. The market isn't dropping because of the algorithms. The algorithms are coming into play because the market is dropping. Right?
Maybe a little of both. But yesterday, I sense it was more... I mean, what happened on Tuesday to cause them to drop? There were mixed signals.
Caused the market to go up 500 points on Friday?
I know. Algorithms.
Monday.
Algorithms.
Well,
I mean,
Monday,
you know,
Monday was the credit of the G20 meeting.
Right.
Oh, it didn't have anything to do with algorithms on Monday. It was all because there was a trade agreement with China. Ceasefire. Not an agreement, but a ceasefire. So market went up 500 points. Tuesday, well, they came out and said, China's really not saying that this is as good of a ceasefire as what everybody, the talk came and so forth. And, you know, then everything clicked back in.
Well, I think algorithms are more responsible for abrupt falls than they are for abrupt rises, because traders, as a rule, are optimists who want and who do anything to talk up the market. Yesterday, unfortunately, I mean, the traders get what they ask for. These big hedge companies, especially hedge funds, it's just that. the small guy just seems to be the victim all the time of you know, these abrupt, and I think, you know, should be illegal trading tools. But hey, we get off the point when we argue about that, and I apologize for that, because the main reason the markets fall. Oh no, I mean, we're having a, you know, just a debate about, you know, causes and whatever. You know, it's the fundamentals.
Yes.
It's all the uncertainty, all the volatility. It's the cumulative effect of all of that, you know, weighing heavily on stock prices. And, you know, the uncertainty, particularly about, you know, what's going to happen, what the Fed's going to do. Are they going to continue raising rates beyond December? Are they going to raise us right into a recession? Is it too late to avoid that? You know, go ahead.
What I found interesting, and I think you hit it right on the head, is, you know, people who in these retirement accounts, pension, you don't have a chance. You know, I've been told by, you know, technology people that when it comes to the algorithms and these huge companies and so forth, they move their offices. They change the wiring. They get smaller wires as possible, because all of this takes into effect. It saves them seconds. And if they can save a second in a trade, mm-hmm. that makes them billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, and so the poor little guy who's sitting at, I mean, you don't have a chance.
You read about it the next day, you know, unless you're a rare bird who pays really close attention, you know, on a daily basis.
And what's unfortunate is a lot of these people who do the investing and so forth, and even people who have financial planners and you know, they place their money in various areas and so forth, they just do what they're told. You know, so I don't think anybody really thinks through. They're just doing what they're told, where to invest, what their, you know, package is and so forth and whatnot. They make fees on managing people's money and everything. So I get all that. But what do people do in order to protect for buying into the idea that we're years away from a recession?
You have a large / larger chunk of your assets in gold and silver, so that you don't have to, I mean, not that you don't have to worry, you know, if it comes, but when it comes, you're better protected.
You're absolutely correct. And it's, again, the importance of owning gold and silver. And again, I share this story, people who buy gold and silver. Man, once I bought gold and silver, I put it in my safe, and I never had to worry about the stock market anymore.
Mm.
You know, and the thing is, what people don't understand, I talked to someone yesterday. Well, you know, I've been wanting to pull out the money. I've been told I can't, I shouldn't, and this and that. He says, I know it's time. I know it's at peak, but I'm told I shouldn't. And it's like, this is your money. What people don't understand is you can pull your money out, and you can put it all, if you preserve it, you can always go back in. That's the beauty of protecting your purchasing power. You know, that's the beauty of when you buy your purchasing power and you protect your purchasing power. They always say you won't get rich owning gold. Gold, you'll get wealthy because gold has protected your purchasing power. So when the markets do drop 50, 60, 70%, you get to go, just like when it hit 6,000, you can go back in and buy it and watch it go up and, you know, land and so forth. So that's the beauty of gold. It preserves your purchasing power. And we had Toll Brothers today. Just one more point. Dave, I did see, well, I don't know if it was Cramer, but I saw Kudlow, the other Fox News financial program, they're all crying, no recession, we're years away from a recession. Yeah. That's exactly the same thing they said going into 2008. So that's the truth that you'll get from them. But Toll Brothers came out today. They're a luxury home builder. They said they saw new orders decline this fall. According to its earnings release this week, their CEO blamed higher mortgage rates and high prices in California, where it sells a large share of its homes. So luxury buyers, they're not exempt from today's weaker affordability, and that is actually showing up in the size of the loans for which the borrowers are applying. So we saw mortgage rates slide this week. They fell to the lowest level in 2 months yesterday. So mortgage rates didn't experience nearly as big as a move as the broader bond market did. And I guess that's
it. Yeah, you know, there's Arturo Estrella, who's a former New York Fed economist. He and some colleagues started studying the relationship between something you and I talk about, the rates of the 10-year Treasury note and a 3-month Treasury bill. When those rates move closer to each other, the curve, as listeners know, is said to be flattening. When the shorter-term Treasury has a higher rate than the 10-year, the curve is said to be inverted. Now, lately, a lot of people have focused on the difference between the rates on the 10-year and 2-year Treasuries, which, in Estrella's view anyway, is the wrong curve to be watching. Mm-hmm. Having said that, he finds the flattening of the curve that he watches to be increasingly worrisome. When that curve flattens or inverts, a recession is anywhere from 9 to 15 months away, with the average lead time of 1 year.
Well, you know, just a few months ago, the difference between the 10-year and the 3-month was around 90 percentage points, or 0.9%. Yesterday, it narrowed down to under 0.5 percentage point. And so that leads him to believe that he is more nervous. Estrella said he's more nervous about the yield curve's message now that he was several months ago. And this is something else, Dave, that I've been seeing on the mainstream financial news programs, the cable news programs, is they're all talking, oh, this doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're hearing
this is the old school. That's old school. Things are different today in our world.
The new normal.
It's not going to make any difference. Well, I kind of beg to differ. You know, maybe they can add on a couple of days or months, but I think it all means something. And it's just not one time that it's happened, Dave. We talked about this before. I mean, how many times?
Every time.
Every time for the past how many years?
Many.
Many. So again, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't something that's new. So I'd have to look at, you know, we talk about history. Financial history is no different. You know, it does have a tendency to repeat itself. And yes. We've seen it time and time again. We were talking about the White House is saying there's no rollback in auto tariffs. So what looked earlier this week like a resolution to the costly automotive tariff war with China, just a little bit of wishful thinking there, ladies and gentlemen. We'll touch on that briefly when we come back from the break. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Heading into the break, we were talking about the rollbacks, and the car makers and car part manufacturers on both sides of the Pacific were initially buoyed by the claim of an incredible trade deal emerging from the 2.5-hour dinner meeting that was held Saturday evening between President Trump and China's President Xi Jinping. And you know what was interesting? When I heard it was only 2.5 hours, Dave, I thought, oh, that really isn't really long enough. I mean, you're eating and doing other things, so it's not a very long time. But it seems like perhaps the administration is now backpedaling, acknowledging that there was no deal in place to roll back automotive tariffs. The Chinese tariff had been 25%, and earlier this year, the country was set to roll the tax back to just 15%. I thought it was 40%. What was 40%?
They're still talking about a 40% tariff if in retaliation for the next new round.
All right.
Of U.S. tariffs.
All right. So so we'll see where that is heading, Dave.
Yeah, we sure will. You know, turning to tax cuts, Melody, we're reading yet another report that is saying that the effects of last year's tax cuts are still not trickling down to workers. Now, you know, we know that, you know, the proponents of this, the cuts to individuals and businesses, you know, sold it as a middle class tax cut that would dramatically increase business investment, as well as raise wages and simplify the tax code. Well, you know, it looks to some extent that the last one is going to come to fruition, but as for the others, it looks like those promises are yet to be fulfilled. Real wage growth, as we've been reading and talking about, has been largely non-existent for the average U.S. worker since the tax bill passed. I mean, production non-supervisory workers saw about a 0.2% year-over-year increase in average hourly earnings last quarter. People who did benefit, however, made out like bandits. You know, analysts from the Tax Policy Center estimate that the top 1% of earners will receive a larger share of the tax cut this year than the entire bottom 60% combined. So we have work to do on that front, Melody. You know, it doesn't look like 2019 is going to generate nearly the kind of growth that'll be necessary to improve that wage growth scenario.
But the economy is great, huh?
Hey, $1.9 trillion in additional, deficits. Perhaps another $3 trillion you know, between 2029 and 2038, you know, if, as some of members of Congress want to do, is, you know, make some of the provisions permanent.
That's not going to happen.
That's big money.
That's not going to happen. Well, you know, today is usually the day we talk about brevity is golden. And I saw this segment on the cable news, Fox News, this morning, and it tickled me that you brought this for our weekly segment, Brevity is Golden. So,
well, this hit me too, and I wasn't sure how mainstream it had gotten. But, you know, our segment theme today is, you know, sometimes you can fight City Hall and win. A 9-year-old boy has convinced the leaders of a small northern Colorado town to overturn a nearly century-old ban on snowball fights. And he already knows who his first target will be, his little brother. Poor guy. Now, Dane Best, that's his name, who lives in the often snow-swept town of Severance, presented arguments at a town board meeting just the other night. And members voted unanimously to lift the ban. Dane, you know, said leading up to the meeting, "I think it's an outdated law." Now, remember, he's 9 years old, ladies and gentlemen. He said, "I want to be able to throw a snowball without getting into trouble. You go, boy." Dane's mother, Brooke Fest, told the Greeley Tribune her son had been talking about snowballs since he found out about a month and a half ago that it was illegal to throw them within town limits. Now, Severance is a smaller town east of Fort Collins and north of Boulder that gets an average of 43 inches of snow a year. So, you know, there's a lot of trouble to be gotten into during the winter there, Melody. Last time the snow came down last week, Dane said he and his friend looked around for police and joked about breaking the law. You know, Kyle Rietkerk, who's assistant to the Severance town administrator, said the rule, you know, was part of a larger ordinance that made it illegal to throw or shoot stones or missiles at people. I guess he meant projectiles.
Yes.
At people, animals, buildings, trees, and any other public or private property or vehicles. And it just so happened that snowballs fell under the town's definition of missiles. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he said what ends up happening is that the town leaders always encourage the kids with, "You have the power, you know, you can change the law." It's just that no one had so far. That is, until Dane took up the cause, writing letters with his classmates in support of overturning the ban. Well, after Monday's night's success, the 4-year-old brother Dax had certainly better watch out. When board members asked Dane during a meeting, during the meeting, who he wants to hit, he pointed to his little bro. Well, Dane and his family have researched other Severance ordinances, Melody, including one that defines pets only as cats and dogs. It turns out Dane has a guinea pig, which is illegal in Severance too. And that, Melody, is this week's Brevity is Golden. Hats off to Dane Best.
Who? Yeah, that...
tell the folks. You just told me, you know, some of his longer-term plans.
Yes, yes. And I see he does want to work on making his guinea pig legal. And he was asked in an interview, what does he want to be when he grows up? And he says he wants to be president of the United States. He says he wants to live in that big White House.
That's great.
And so that's his goal, and he's certainly starting out to understanding on how to change laws, and he's an adorable kid. He was really a cute little kid, and it was a joy to see that interview, and I thank you for bringing that to the program today. It was very nice. But I, you know, my little mind just works, not my little mind, but my big mind works in various ways. And I just think, this is Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Where are you going with that?
Well, I'm saying... have to go any further for everyone to figure it out?
Yeah, it's a little quirky, isn't it? All I know is that my next road trip in that part of the country, I'm staying out of Severance during the winter, because I suspect that little kids will be lining up behind parked cars on both sides of the streets, you know, looking to hammer you as you drive by. Way to go, Dane.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I'm just going to, this is meaningless comments here, but I remember as a little kid, I'd go, you know, out to dinner with my grandparents. They would always place paper placemats. You know, you go in, and usually it was either Pennsylvania Dutch sayings, the way the Pennsylvania Dutch people would say things, like instead of like throw Papa down the stairs, his hat. You know, it was all kind of But there was always one about laws in various states. And that's what this reminds me of, because there's goofy laws. Like you can't cross the street without, you know, the sun has to be shining, you know, after. I mean, just crazy, silly laws across this country in various states that were made long ago. And this law was made, what, over 100 years ago or close to 100 years, and making snowballs illegal. So that's what it reminds me. So it brought also other memories back as far as those little paper placemats.
Oh, gosh. Johnny Carson used to talk a lot. Was it Johnny or David Letterman that used to talk about these absurd old laws that were still in the books?
Yes, yes.
But, well, that's a nice memory.
Yes, it is. Yesterday we talked a little bit about Putin threatening to develop more nukes. Putin had, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it, because I really wasn't sure what all this means and everything. We really didn't get into the treaty and the INF treaty. It was actually signed in 87 between Ronald Reagan, Mikhail Gorbachev. We talked about that. And so Secretary of State Mike Pompeo basically drew a line in the sand to Russia, saying that you've got 60 days, I believe it was, Dave, or President Trump has promised to withdraw from the treaty.
Oh, gosh.
They have said that Russia's been cheating, and it seems that the American partners believe that the situation has changed so much that the United States must also have such a weapon. So I guess that's one way. If we're prevented to have that weapon, why should Russia be allowed to have the weapon?
Well, so you know, part of the issue with these older nuke treaties is that, you know, as technologies improve, and this is the case with this new generation of Russian missiles. You know, they I don't know if which comes first, the desire to cheat the treaty or just to design a missile that technically adheres to it or not. But you know, it's I mean, I certainly don't think treaties like that ought to have sunset clauses, but I think there should be, you know, maybe required review dates. You know, while I personally think it would be a terrible mistake for the U.S. to withdraw from this treaty, particularly under the current circumstances, because I think there are other ways we can, you know, make Putin, you know, pay for, you know, some, particularly any egregious breaches. I less nuclear arms is a good thing. This treaty, I forget the number, but it substantially cut numbers of nuclear weapons that we point at each other. I mean, it's like, how many do you need to incinerate the other country? I mean, Russia has a reported 6,800 nuclear weapons now. We have just shy of 6,600. You know, the next closest to us, I think, is France with 300. China has only 270, and so on, down to, you know, North Korea, which now has a reported 10 to 20. You know, let's get some, you know, if there is some big cheating going on, if this new generation of missiles, this super missile that they've apparently developed, although not, you know, necessarily successfully tested, you know, we've got to bring our allies together and many of them to put whatever pressure we have to on Putin to, you know, say, hey, you know, this destabilizing move is not acceptable. And here's how we're gonna, you know, back up our position with additional sanctions or whatever.
Yeah, because you're right. I mean, if you go past 60 days and the agreement is no longer, the treaty no longer, they can just, I mean, so can we, but right. I mean, no one knows what the other one will have.
Well, there you have it. It's the verification portions of.
I mean, they all probably lie anyway. You know, they probably all have something in their back pocket that they're not going to tell us because I don't know how.
Or their backyard.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to verify it, but it is interesting because as technology continues to improve and to, you know, certainly these weapons are going to be more, you know, advanced and so forth. So, you know, to me, it's kind of like, how do you convince the Russians to come back into compliance? You know, when they don't think that they're violating anything. So
I don't know. It's for people with. Go ahead.
But usually, if you give somebody 60 days and we pull out, what else is going to happen after that? What happens after that?
What are we learning about? You know, what's going on in Iran since we left that deal? I mean, it's. I understand, you know, where that position comes from. Mm-hmm. I just think it asks for more trouble than it's worth.
Well, we're out of time, Dave.
Well, how can that be?
I don't know. We had so much more to talk about, but we'll continue on Friday. I'll be here tomorrow with Butch, with Dave on Friday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.